This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm as-sabi'u wa al-ishruna min shahri dhul-hijjah 1445 al-muwafiq li 4 من شهر جولاي 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last درس, which is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ قَالُوا أَتَجَعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِرُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remind people about the origin of their creation and what really happened during that creation, so that they would take a great lesson which will mark their success. Because without understanding this beginning of ours, a person might not be able to pass the test in this dunya, and you might not be able to know your enemy. You might not be able to fight your enemy after knowing that enemy. So you need to know the root cause of the problem, and then you'll be able, inshallah, to escape and to pass the test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about what really happened. How did we end up being here on earth? And what is the purpose of us being here? And what is the most important thing we should be doing in order to make it back to the original place, which is the Jannah, insha'Allah ta'ala. So Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked him to remind people about this blessing. He says, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. And subhanAllah, this is the first favor and a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he bestowed the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by mentioning them in the mala'il a'la, talking about them in the highest position, the heavens, before they were even created. You know, to have your dhikr being mentioned in the mala'il a'la is an honor, you know, is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, we are actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the mala'il a'la. Mala'il a'la is the highest position. These are the places where the angels are located. You get it? So your name being mentioned in that place is a success. So we are mentioned in that place before we were created, because this is a discussion about us between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels. Yeah, discussion about us between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels. So the scholars take it as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to reach this level. Has it placed that? So, يقول الله عز وجل إذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. الملائكة, these are the angels. The creation was before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, for sure. Obviously, they were created before us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to them, and these creation, they are created from light, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from light. And that maybe Wallahu alam can translate that speed they have, which is something that cannot be comprehended by us. An angel can just tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, just go to the heavens and come back just like that. You know, that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam followed Jibril alaihi wasallam, you can see that journey. Within one night, you were able to reach not Bayt al-Maqdis, but the heaven number 7, and the Prophet ﷺ reached a place beyond that. So they have this speed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, and they are from light. But they also yatashakkalun, they change, you know, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His permission, into different forms. Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam using the image of Dihitul Kalbi. Dihitul Kalbi is one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, he comes sometimes and sit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the companions would not recognize who he was. They just see Dihitul Kalbi. And sometimes he will come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a form which nobody knows, like in the hadith of Jibreel al-Tawil, the long hadith of Umar about Islam, Iman and Ihsan. They don't know him because he doesn't look like somebody who lives in Medina. And on and on. So these are the angels. They come sometimes in the form of human beings. That's by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to do that. Like the case of Musa alayhi salam. Sorry. Musa alayhi salam, when he received the angel of death. Yeah, they said angel of death used to visit the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and you know that story where Musa hit him on his face because he came to the house as a human being. Musa doesn't see angel, he saw a human being. Yeah, that's why the liberalists should go to school and learn before they talk about Islam. You know, Orientalists, they should go and be honest in what they're doing and learn before they talk about Islam. Before they accuse or criticize, they have to be honest. So Musa did not hit an angel. He hit what he sees in front of him as a human being. That's very normal. But it turns to be an angel. So that image was the one that is affected, not the angel himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixes it back and asks him to go back to Musa alayhi salam. In different way, where he recognized the angel of death, and the case was addressed in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to be addressed. So these are the angels, and there are many. Nobody knows how many angels created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا ذِكْرَ لِلْبَشَرِ. Nobody knows how many angels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created except Allah. Yeah, nobody knows. And those angels who are going to Baytul Al-Ma'mur every day, how many angels goes to Baytul Al-Ma'mur? 70,000 angels every day. And whoever goes to that place will never come back to it forever. So you can see from the time this place was created, it has been visited by angels. And whoever reached that place will never come back to it. And they are of different size. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَعِلِ الْمَلَائِكَةَ رُسُلًا أُولِي أَجْنِحَةٍ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءُ. So they have 2 wings, some of them. 3 wings, some of them. 4 wings, some of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased to whomsoever He wishes among them. Jibreel alayhi salam has 600 wings. Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to us that Jibreel alayhi salam has 600 wings. SubhanAllah. So big and so giant. But at the same time, they are very humble. Yeah, Jibreel is not the biggest angel in terms of size. In terms of ranking, yes, number one. But in terms of size, Jibreel is not the biggest one. Allah informed us through the Prophet ﷺ about the Hamalatul Arsh. These Hamalatul Arsh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are to travel from the shoulder of one of them, before you reach the ears, the flesh of the ears, you spend 700 years. Yeah, they have 8 of them. So you can imagine how big is this angel. And they are constantly saying, Subhanaka haythu kunt. Glory be to you, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever you are. So these are the angels, and they are very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any of his command. And they always do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to do. Yeah, that's why we said this shows that, yes, the ability is there. Yeah, that's why the praise lies exist. Allah praise them because they don't say no. And they don't reject and they don't deny. Always on the alert, waiting for the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be executed. And they do it exactly in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to be done. Very accurate and straightforward and also dedicated to Allah. This is one of the best lessons we can get from believing in the angels. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورٍ وَخُلِقَ الْجَانُّ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْجَانُّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ خُلِقَ آدَمٌ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ. He says, angels are created from light, and jinns are created from smoke, less fire. And وَخُلِقَ آدَمٌ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ. And Adam is created from that which has been described to you. So jinns are from fire, angels from light, and Adam from clay. That's the origin of human being. Everyone is from Adam, and Adam is from Turab. Very straightforward, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Contrary to Darwin, woman, tabi'ahu bi dalal. You get it? And those who believe that human beings came originally from monkeys or fish or whatever. This is dalal. If you're looking for dalal, this is dalal. Adam was the first human being, and everyone is generated from Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him from the clay. Right? Three types of clays mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam: the white, and what else? Red, and the black. Mixture of those. And then the human beings comes out from that. So Adam was the first one. What color was Adam? So fast. So fast. Blue?
We don't know.
That's Musa alayhi salam. When he describes Musa, he says, Adam shadid al-sumra. Shadid al-udma. And the asmar shadid al-sumra. Dark, very dark. That's Musa alayhi salam. But I'm talking about... Yeah, all of these are interpretations, yeah, and different views by... usually the present and contemporary scholars, which at the end of the day, it doesn't have any significance in it. Yeah. Some say because Adam is naturally, the word is going back to darkness. You know. Some said, no, it is not. Yeah. Adim al-ard. Referring to the clay. I'm just bringing this as an example of debates that don't have any significance in it. Because at the end of the day, if you know Adam was blue, brown, white, then what? What does it produce? Nothing except racism, right? So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no favor, you know, the black is not better than the white. White is not better than the black. Arab is not better than the non-Arab. Non-Arab is not better than the Arab. He says, "Kullukum min Adam wa Adam min turab." All of you are from Adam, and Adam is from the clay. Yeah, that's why in the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't have these differences. He managed to sweep them completely. Yeah, they used to have a lot. If you're not Arab, yeah, waylak. If you're not white, yeah, waylak. You know. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swept everything and kept the ummah upon this unity. And because without this unity, we'll never succeed. When we start looking at ourselves, you know, with these differences of borders, yeah. So it's so silly to see people from the same race sometimes. the same race. And I don't want to mention examples, but the same race. But then he's looking, belittling his brother just because the border says, you are A and you are B. You Allah, so silly, you know. Before the existence of the colonizers, we didn't have this. And we didn't have this. But somebody told us that, no, we are different. And we accepted that. And somebody told us that your color matters, your language matters, your race matters, you know. And all of these useless things that stop human beings from progressing. They produce none other than oppression. You have those who think they are the best, you know. They have nothing except to colonize others and to put them under, up to date. Yeah. But the problem is not them. We also accept this. As a Muslim, you have to see your Muslim brother just as your brother, from wherever he's coming from, whatever nature he has, whatever color he has, whatever language he has, whatever, you know, size or height he has, you know. If Islam doesn't know anything other than this. Yeah, kullukum min Adam wa Adam min turab. All of you are from Adam, and Adam is from the turab. That's the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his life. But unfortunately, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. You know, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. You know, that's what exactly happens. You know, we change and we turn to forget this. We let the enemy to play with us. That's why this story of Adam is really necessary. Yani, for the success of the Muslim first and foremost, and human beings also. So racism doesn't bring anything except evil. You know, except evil. Having differences in terms of race and in terms of languages, it has benefit. Yeah, it has benefits, but not in the way we take it. Yeah, not in the way we take it. The benefit is intima. You know, sometimes a person wants to do something wrong, but he remembers that the shame is going back to his people. Yeah, that sometimes deprives a person from engaging in bad things, bad behaviors. But not to show other race, you know, that you are deficient, we are the best. Yeah, then it will become da'wah al-jahiliyah. You become da'wah al-jahiliyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. In Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum. Allah doesn't look like, doesn't look at your physical appearance, your color. What is it? Yeah, you have people who are so pretty. They end up going to hell forever and ever. What does it do to them? You know, nothing. Yeah, nothing, you know. And you have others who are, in a way, people saw them, but subhanAllah, they end up going to paradise. And they succeeded in this dunya. Yeah. So the focus is the heart. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. The heart is the focus. Is it clean or not? If your heart is not clean, no matter how much good you look, wallahi, that image is useless. Useless, you know. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and ability to think realistically and to think in a good way. You know, because not understanding this, you know, put a lot of people into trouble. All of those people who are making the plastic surgery, what is it pushing them? Disease. Any human being that goes to the medical doctor to conduct the plastic surgery to change the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, well, this person is sick. Sick, you know. You need to go and visit a medical doctor. Those mental doctors, you know, need to go and see a true, you know, Muslim psychologist, you know, to put his attention and draw his attention, you know, upon that which is the best focus. Otherwise, if they understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. You're right. The best form of creation. They will understand that everyone is okay. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِ. Yeah, having differences among us is ni'mah. Wallahi is ni'mah. Yeah. Otherwise, if everyone looked like one of us, then if one of us misbehaved, who to be blamed? Nobody. Because you can't recognize the one who is wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our image is different. Righteous will be separated from the evil. You get it? And the bad will be separated from the good ones. It's ni'mah. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is ni'mah. But unfortunately, we are using it in the wrong way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good. I don't care about kuffar, you know, and what they're doing. It's okay, but to them, you know. But Muslims engaging in this is so silly, you know. You have Islam and you see others, you know, with the eyes of racism, tribalism, you know. It kills development. It will never make a nation move. Yeah. That's why in many places people happen to live different people, different races. But unfortunately, this one is fighting, this one is hating. Couldn't move anywhere. Nothing will progress at all. So we have to see us and ourselves as one body. That's what Islam wants. One body. You see your Muslim brother as a Muslim, regardless of who he is. Where is he coming from? It doesn't matter. Yeah. Where is he coming from? It doesn't matter. But who he is? Is he good? Yes, he's my brother. He's my friend. Is he Muslim? Yes, he's my brother. And I stand for him. Yeah, not accepting whatever mistake he's making, but I will do everything possible to make sure he's living a good life by fixing his mistakes and guiding him to the right doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So, خُلِقَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورٍ. But angels are created from light. وَخُلِقَ الْجَانُّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. And shaitan is created, or jinn, they are created from the smokeless fire. So, inshaAllah, when we talk about shaitan, we will shed light on the creation of the jinn a bit, inshaAllah. So, وَخُلِقَ آدَمْ مِنْ مَعْصِفَ لَكُمْ. Adam is created from that which has been described to you. That's why it is from the clay, right? That's why we have different nature, different colors, different nature, different mood. You know, have some people, they're very sensitive. Some people, yeah, they're very calm. Yeah. Some people, they're moderate. Yeah, because clay also is like that. Different types of clay. Yeah. Different types of clay. SubhanAllah. So, it called رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ. So, these are the angels. As I said, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرُهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I'm going to put a khalifa on earth. This khalifa, is it referring to Adam alayhi salam? Some scholars said yes, khalifa is Adam alayhi salam. And some scholars said, no, it is not referring to Adam alone. It's referring to the jinns, the nature of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to put on earth. Because khalifa means generation after generation. يَخْلُفُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. This one will come, they will go, and then others will come and replace them. So it is not referring to Adam alayhi salam, because if you say it's referring to Adam also, he might face a problem. Because they said, أَتَّجَعَلْ فِيهَا مَنْ يُسْرِ فِيهَا. For sure, this is not Adam alayhi salam. You get it? They said, مَنْ يُفْسِرِ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. So that's why the best approach in terms of interpreting the word khalifa is قَوْمٌ يَخْلُفُ بَعْضُهُمْ جِنْسٌ يَخْلُفُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. You know, generation after generation, jinn will come and they will be replaced by another generation. And this is who we are, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam indicated that between Adam and Nuh alayhi salam, there were how many generations? 10 generations. Yeah, between Adam and Nuh, you have 10 generations. And each generation is how many years? Qarn, he says 10 qarn. One? Why you change your mind? That's how we fail in the exams, right? Yeah. It's good to, after the exams, to mark papers. Yeah, because you see a lot of amazing things. Sometimes an absolute correct answer, the student will cancel it like this and say, sir, The correct one is on the next page. And you look at the next page, it's rubbish. This one is the correct one. But he canceled, he said, no, I don't want it. I want that one. What to do? Ijtihad on his behalf. After he said he doesn't believe in the correct one, he believes in the wrong one. Yeah. So what is the first answer you said? 1,000 years. Who said 1,000 for among the scholars? But I guess last time you did not say 1,000. First is 1,000, then change it. But do you remember anyone amongst the scholars who said, Ibn Abbas, 1,000 years?
Ibn Abbas, I think I mixed with another
couple. As usual. So Ibn Abbas says, Ashrat Qurun, 10 Qarn. Right? And I couldn't find anyone among the scholars who said Qarn is 1,000. It's either 80 years or 100 years. Something closer to that number. But I would like to see that 1,000 years. Yeah. Maybe it might help those Darwin and his Jama'ah who believes that there is a human being that lived 1,600,000 years ago. Because according to our calculation, the Adam we know did not live like that. Yeah. You get it? But they say they found bones in Kenya. Yeah. And they say, oh, this person didn't need to attend classes like this, actually, to understand the origin of human beings. Yeah. So he says there was a person who lived 1,000. According to the analysis and the DNA test, they found that this person existed 1,600 years ago. Because if you look at the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, between Adam and Nuh, Ashrat Qurun. You get it? And it says, between Nuh and Ibrahim alayhi salam, also 1,000 years. In some, it's very clear, some narrations. This one, 1,000 years. And between Nuh and Ibrahim, 1,000 years. You know, between Musa and Ibrahim, according to that narration, is 500, around 500 years. So, Qarn, Wallahu A'lam, according to what I conclude with, is 100 years. Because of the hadith of the boy, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya'ishu hadha al-gulamu qarnan. This boy will live a qarn. And they said that people monitor to see when this person will die. He died exactly 100 years. So that's yurajjah, that the opinion that says qarn is 100 years. So ashrat qurun, 100 years, that's how many? 10? 100 times 10? 1,000, right? So between Adam and Noah, 1,000 years. Meaning Adam lived around 1,000 years, right? Adam lived 1,000 years, around that amount. So 1,000 years later, Noah came. That's 2,000 years, right? Between the time Adam came and the time Noah came is 2,000 years. And then he says between Noah and Ibrahim also 1,000 years. Noah lived 1,000 years plus. Yeah, and another 1,000, that's 4,000 years. And everyone knows that between Ibrahim and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is about 4,000 years, 4 to 5,000 years, between Ibrahim and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Cannot be, it's around 4,000 years. Do the proper calculation, inshallah, you'll see it like that. Between Adam and, between Ibrahim and, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam from the side of Ismail. Yeah. It wasn't that long, you know, from Ismail until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even look at the lineage, the people who are in the lineage up to Ismail alayhi salam. It's not that long. Yeah. So let's give it 3,000 years, 4,000 years. Even if you look at the lineage, those people in, although that establishment of that lineage from after the Adnan is more doubtful, you know. But whatever, you know, if you look at it, you might say maybe it's less. So let's say 4,000 years. Altogether, 8,000 years, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, up to this moment, we're talking about 1,400 years, right? So we're talking about around how many years? Nine to 10,000 years. You know, the existence of human beings on the earth. We're not talking about the creation of the earth. The existence of human beings. We're not talking also about the creation of Adam alayhi salam. No, the existence of human beings on the earth is about 10,000 years. That's why I told you. I told you a friend of mine was doing a research, and he found in some of these, what do you call them, ancient Egypt, they mentioned that there used to be a flood that happened, I think, around 9,000 years or 9 to 8,000 years. Their estimation, they said the biggest flood that happened to the world took place around that amount. SubhanAllah, it's coincided with this interpretation. You know, this is the estimation, but because that should be the flood of the time of Nuh alayhi salam. You know, so there is no such thing as people used to be here on earth for 1 million years. Which million? Yeah. So Adam was the first, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will put generation after generation. Generation means people will be replacing each other. So for the past 10,000 years, this replacement have been done, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a generation, and then after that, another generation will come. After that, another generation will come. How many generations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created? The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أنتم موفون سبعين أمة من الأمم أنتم خيرها وأكرمها على الله. You're the completion of 70 nations. 70 ummah, we are the last ummah. You get it? أنتم خيرها وأكرمها على الله. You're the best. So the umam as ummah, we're not talking about generations, no. As ummah, you know, the last one that I created around 70. Yeah, because the definition of generation, the generation of Yusuf, generation of Fulan, generation of, yeah, exactly, inshallah. We're talking about 100 years, there will be a generation. Another 100 years, a generation. But as Ummah, you know, nation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created 70 nations, you know. And the last one is the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet, we are the best, you know, we are the most nobler in the eyes of Allah subhanahu وتعالى. قال إني جائلك للناس إني جائل في الأرض خليفة. Allah says you put a khalifa on earth. And Al-Qurtubi, if I'm not mistaken, he talked in detail about the khilafa also here. Because the word khalifa means somebody who is replacing another person in a good way. It suggests good manners, good behavior. That's why he talks about leadership and the qualities of a leader. Who should be our leader? Yeah. Who should lead us? Leaders should be the best example in the nation. Yeah, that's how it is. That's why Khulafa al-Rashidin, you don't see anyone who is better than them at all. They managed to lead the nation and the ummah to success because they themselves, they are upon the best of qualities and manners. That's why they were the example. People used to look at them and wait for what they will be saying. Whatever they say, will be the thing that they will be applying in their life. They supported the leaders, you know. Whether they have differences or not, but they believe that this person is here for the benefit of the nation. That's why in those days the target is who? The Khalifa. The target by the enemies, the Jew, and they're alike, they come, they target the Khalifa. Because once you break that one, you're breaking the back. Born of the Muslim community, you know, because they are led by that Imam. Yeah. So he talks about the Khilafah, the importance of the Khilafah, and the qualities of a Khalifa, and how to choose a Khalifa. Okay. In Islam, in Sassi Sharia, what are the ways to assume responsibility to be a leader? Shura, that's number one. Istikhlaf, that's them. That you should bring the istikhlaf first. Shura, istikhlaf. They call it an nas, right? And the last one is ghalaba. You know. Ghalaba means you take it by force. Once they said, once everything cools down and the community should submit, because if they are to fight, if he defeated the army in the country and take over, if the community is going to fight him, what do you think will happen? Bloodshed, more bloodshed. And at the end of the day, he will win. So that's why they said, they just people just pray for good to take place in the country and see how to support and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him. You know, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him so that he can lead the nation with patience and success, and also in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. That which he did, that's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to protect the community, you know, from being involved in the bloodshed, the scholar said, people should just stay away from fighting back. إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك. They said, Ya Allah, are you going to put on earth من يفسد فيها, the one who is going to do nothing other than corruption, the one who is going to corrupt the earth and do corruption in on the earth, ويسفك الدماء, and cause bloodshed, you know, in that place. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. How did they know? You know, they judge. Before even the creation of Adam, they said, you're going to put a nation, I mean, type of creation, who are going to corrupt the place, and who are going to engage in a facet, and who are going to engage in bloodshed among them, fighting each other. How did they know? From the jinn. Yeah, that's an opinion. They learned from the jinn who were here before. Another opinion says, al-jinn, al-hinn wal-bin. All right. Okay, we will talk about that one when we come to shaitan. To see whether there was creation called al-hinn wal-bin, or there wasn't any creation called al-hinn wal-bin. Inshallah. What else? The easiest and the best answer. Wallahu alam. Yeah. That's what some scholars said. Wallahu alam. The best way they know. How do they know about this? Because the way they're speaking is, it looks like somebody who is informed about something or who witnessed something, right? So they see it. They saw an example. If Allah tells them, I'm going to bring another one, they have this. And we have to also understand, they are not, you know, doing i'tirad. I'tirad means they're not objecting. Yeah, they're just curious. Why? Yeah, you get it? They are not saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not like rejecting that will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not. You get it? And they are not also hasidin. Hasid means they don't want Adam to take this favor. Jealous, they're not. They're just curious. They just want to know, what is the purpose of this? That's why they said, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. If the purpose of the creation of this person and putting him on earth is worship, we do that every day. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We always do the tasbih. SubhanAllah, that shows the favor of tasbih, right? Allah loves this word. Yeah. Because this word, SubhanAllah, contains any form of, you know, perfection and rejection of deficiency to be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhan, subhun quddusun, this is what it means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taqaddasat asma'uhu wa sifatuhu. There is no deficiency to be attributed to him. Is free from any deficiency. That's why he says, Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. He says, wa salamun ala al mursalin. Leish. The scholar said, wa salamun ala al mursalin li salamati ma wasafuhu bihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jaza'an, al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, salamun alal mursaleen. Why? Because what they describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with is free from any deficiency. The most perfect way of description. Yeah. It says, salamu alal mursaleen li salamati ma wasafu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bihi. Because what they describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with is pure, clean, perfect. So you also, when you describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sifatul kamal wal jamal, you also receive this peace in this dunya before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhina amanu wa lam yalbisu imanahum bi dhulmin ulaika lahum al-amnu wa hum muhtadun. This aman is given to those who describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what he deserves, what fits him. Sifatul la'iqa bi Allah azza wa jalla. So subhanallah, very important. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, this is one of the biggest sources of, actually, number one source of comfort in the heart is tasbih, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general. Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. You want to have tranquility of the heart, constantly do dhikr. The correct one, not the wrong one, you know. Yeah, the correct dhikr. Some people are just repeating, who, what is that? Yeah. Like dhikr is a dhikr taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla la quwwata illa billah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma akfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabul ghafoor. Any dhikr Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do, just do that. Don't introduce yours, just take his. Because his is the correct one. You get it? You do it, you get a comfort of the heart. You know, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, you'll be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will comfort your heart and also grant you the solution to all of the predicament you might be facing in your life. And your risk will increase. Iwallah, your risk will go up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ. Yeah, because I depend on Yusuf. When Yusuf leave this life, inshallah you will live hundreds of years. Yeah. Long life in righteousness, be in love. But when he leaves this life, I'm going to lose a lot, right? Nobody to pay for my school fees, monthly expenses. What does that mean? That means I have been dependent on a wrong person. I'm dependent on the wrong one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you do tawakkul, your tawakkul should be on somebody who will never die. He says, alal hayyil ladhi la yamut. The one who will never die. That means you will never lose. And then after that, he says, wasabbih bihamdi. You see the link and the connection between tawakkul, at-tawakkul and risk. You know. That's why Nuh alayhi salam told his children, he says, wa amurkum bi subhanallah, and I command you to say subhanallah. Fa innaha salatu kulli shay wa biha yurzaqu al-khalq. He said, because subhanallah is the prayer of everything, and because of subhanallah, people got on everything is getting it sustenance. Because of subhanallah, the rizq is coming to us. So constantly after doing the asbab, after using the asbab, not to sleep at home and keep dhikr. No, go and use the asbab and intensify the amount of your dhikr. Inshallah, Allah will increase you in risk. Allah says, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّبَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يعني مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing in this life except يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَبْقَوْنَ تَسْبِحَهُ. But you just don't recognize the way they are making tasbih, but everything is making tasbih. Some scholars said, including the kuffar, the body is making tasbih, although the tongue is refusing to do it, but the body. Because he says, إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Nothing except that يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُمْ. So jinn, ins, angels, everyone. I told you about my classmate and roommate in Medina who was a shepherd. His name is Muhammad. He said, subhanAllah, in one of those journeys they have, you know, because those people, the herds, they have to keep going looking for the grasses. Yeah, sometimes this village, always on the journey. So he mentioned the experience in here in Adhan, in a place where there is nobody living there. And they managed to trace where the Adhan is being raised. You know, it was from a tree. They reached the place. You know. They hear the Adhan coming from it. So Allah, he says, my conclusion after seeing this, I just told myself, Muhammad, either to worship Allah or you don't. Allah has those who are doing. You see them, you don't see them. Constantly they are doing, non-stop. No time where the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being cut off, none. Yeah, you might not find it in a place, but it is always, always there. So it's up to us to do and succeed, or not to do and fail in life. That's it. So please take this matter seriously. Yeah, take it seriously. Tasbih is the best path to your success, inshallah. قَالُوا وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ Subhanallah wa bihamdi. And they are also always glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and describing taqdeesullah azza wa jalla, meaning describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with any description that is free from deficiency. And also having the complete bara'ah from attributing any deficiency to Allah. That's taqdees. Quddus. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quddus means the one that is pure, clean. Doesn't have any deficiency to be attributed to him. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, I know what you don't know. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know what you don't know. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا إِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ This ayah might take a bit longer. I guess this is the best place to stop. Inshallah, next dars we continue from here. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before you go to the second one, why there is ishkal in the first one?
Because anshana, يعني خلقنا من بعدهم بعد هؤلاء these people قرونا آخرين. Allah talking about people, not jinns.
Allah talking about
people, not jinns. But we say that قرن means 100 years.
Who created the years? And why do you exclude the years and focus on the people here? What is the qarina in that min ba'dihim?
Because if you look in other places, Allah said, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ Allah talking about people.
Because there is no difference. When you talk about qarn, qariya, of course you're talking about the people in the qariya. You get it? Talk about generation, you talk about ummah, you're talking about the people, the nation, regardless of their nature. So when you say qarn, you are referring to the time, period of time. And since we are not focusing on the time itself, we are focusing on the people in terms of ahkam. You get it? So, yeah. But when Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Qasharatu Qurun, of course he is talking about the time and the people who are inside and the nature of the people. Qala kulluhum ala tawheed. The qarn, the time itself, is all about tawheed. What does that mean? It means people within this period of time. from this moment up to the other moment, they are all upon the Tawheed. But I need to tell you the Qarn. I cannot tell you people are upon the Tawheed. Which people are we talking about? I go to the people of this country, they are not doing. That country, they are not doing. This one are doing. Which one? And I have in a nation, you know, people lived, this place have been established for 1,000 years. The first person who came to this place came 1,000 years ago. You get it? And then now 1,000 years later, I have different types of people. 200 years after the existence of the first one, people are upon the Tawheed. And then they change. And then they come back to Tawheed. Again, when I talk and I say this generation are upon the Tawheed, that would be a lie. So I will tell you, between this time, after this time, you know, I use time, I don't use people. Between this time, after this time, people are upon the Tawheed. You get it? So there is no contradiction, actually, between وَقُرُونًا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرًا قُرُونًا آخَرِينَ. What is قُرُون? This is Jama. Jama started from? قَرْن. I mean, three and above, right? And even closest opinion says from two. When I say قُرُونًا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرًا, many قُرُون. If I have three, is it قُرُون? If I say قُرُونًا كَثِيرًا, I have 10. Is it قُرُون كَثِيرًا? Yes. Do you get it? It's applicable. 100 years, many hundred years, you know. Do you get the idea? Between Adam, between Nuh alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akid qurun bayna dhalika kathira. You get it? If you say 9,000 years, for instance, or we say 8,000 years, each 1,000 years you have 10 qarn inside. So 8,000, you have how many qarn? 80 qarn. That's kathir, or qurunan bayna dhalika kathira. It applies. Yeah, I know that there are some comments by some scholars, and they use this. They say, Allah says, wa qurunan bayna dhalika kathira. It suggests maybe it's more than that. But these are all maybe. Yeah, if we have a better means of calculation, it's better to focus on that. Since Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this person will live a qarn, and he died after 100 years. That's the closest interpretation to the word qarn. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, 10 qarn, so we take it 100 times, 10, 1,000 years. At the end of the day, we say Allahu Alam. But we believe that Adam doesn't go beyond. It wasn't many years. Many years in the sense of 1 million years and all of these things. People would not be able to trace back the history in the way we do. Talk about the time of Adam, time of Nuh alayhi salam, very easily. This means not that far. Do you get it? If it is 1 million, 2 million, they're talking about almost that amount. And how people manage to keep that history for more than 1 million years? Do you get it? And the reference will be too far. But Allah always refers us to the time of Noah, Adam. Learn lesson from them. You know? That means something within their reach, within our reach, inshallah. So there is no contradiction at all. Sual al-thani.
Sheikh, the next question. Okay, since you're talking about the balaika, harut wa marut.
I know.
Now,
it will come. Okay. It will come.
Inshallah.
Yeah. Wallahu alam, you know, it's a long debate among the scholars concerning harut and marut. Are they angels or they're not angels? And the main problem people face when discussing this is that angel, the nature of the angel. Angel don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this one comes with magic. And they even tell anyone who is learning the magic from them, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. So, many interpretations by some scholars. But inshallah, when we reach that place, we quote all the statement of the scholars and then we go for the tarjih. Yeah. If we say they are angels, is it possible? Yes, it is. Because if Allah asked them to do, they are doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to do. So it's obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we call it. Get it? They're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah asked them to do that. He made them as a test. Not because they disobeyed and Allah punished them and put them on the ground. That is a way out for this opinion that says they were angels. And some said no. There was no even angels said. Their story is fake. And they have their approach in interpreting the ma. The ma, mausula or nafiya. different approaches. The one who says this will give you different meaning. The one who says that will give you different. So, inshallah, when we reach that place, and then we will see which approach is the most appropriate and the correct approach, inshallah.
From the Zoom is asking a question. So, is it racist for someone to look for a spouse based on color? Is it fine to have this preference?
Spouse with no color?
Based on color.
Oh, I thought he says with no color. Which jinn is this? So the question is?
Is it racist for someone to look for a spouse based on the color of the skin?
No, it's not. Racism is in the heart. Marriage is a matter of choice. Yeah, it's a matter of choice. The person chooses whatever person he will feel. What is the point of looking? You look to see whether you feel comfortable to stay with that person or not. It's absolutely the choice of the one who's choosing. If an extremely white person like somebody who has leprosy, that's up to him. Albino. You want somebody like that? That's good. You get it. There's nothing wrong with that. You want somebody like extremely dark, like the tar? It's no problem. You want somebody red, like if you touch him, blood will come out of him. You want brown, he want as blue? No. Yes. Whatever color he wants is up to him. Whatever size he wants is up to him. Yeah. You get it? Yeah. So it's absolutely the matter of the choice of the person who's looking for the spouse.
There's one more question. Is there any book that Sheikh can recommend for further reading on the topic of tasbih?
Books written by Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Badr. Please, whenever you find a book written by him, take those books. Yeah. He has a lot concerning these haqa'iq, inshallah. You'll get more than what you're looking for in his books, inshallah.
Rayyan is asking a question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Shaykh, ahsan allahu alaikum fi dunya wal akhirah. Is it allowed to do class in Zoom for boys and girls before bulugh age, or better to separate them?
Qiyas, or is it allowed to do qiyas in Zoom?
Class.
I heard qiyas, so.
Is it allowed to do class for boys and girls before bulugh age, or is it better to separate them?
The best is to go for the separation. Because nowadays we're living in a time which is really, best is to do the separation. But having it is okay. Permissibility is permissible to have one. Class on Zoom for both of them, as long as they control what is going on. But if they can have a class for this and class for that, that would be great. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has both. Class for both male and female that are attending. And he has also a class that he does with the sisters. Never had a class that he is only for their brothers. Never had a class for the brothers alone. But many classes, the sisters, since they are not around, he does with the brothers. That's why they got annoyed. They told him, Ya Rasulullah, their brothers took everything from you. We don't have any time. He says, no problem. He gave them a day where he is coming to them to learn from them. But there's no class where the Prophet ﷺ said only brothers can come. They come and sit appropriately and the class will be conducted. But that secondary school level and primary level is very sensitive level. You get it? Very sensitive level. If they can control what is going on, it's okay. If not, we're living in life which, in a small life, see a lot of things taking place in our schools. But it's permissible. There's nothing in the Sharia that says no.
Sheikh, ideally, in the case of schools, what age is like where we say that okay, we have to, it is necessary for us to separate? For example, like nursery school, so the most of schools they have mixed. And any
from the time when the child knows how to use phones and devices.
These days, like very small.
Yeah, that's why I used that one. I said from the time they know how to.
6, 7.
That's, they would give you a PhD in media. A 6-year-old, right? That one will give you a PhD in media. Yeah, well, before at that age, a person doesn't even know what phone is all about. But now, no. Parents give them the device from 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Yeah, they play with the device. Destroying the brain from that moment. So from the time they understand these things, you will lie, because you have things in the school from the age which you never expect. You know. Yeah, I'm talking to you, and just remember cases, you know. Very young people. You won't believe what they did. And these are facts. True stories, like the way I see Yusuf, you know, I know that he does exist. In the school, and the parent, when they asked the girl, what really happened to you and where do you get this? And she mentioned a boy at the same age, in the school. So what can you say now? Yeah, we are talking about age, you know. She mentioned a boy in the same classroom as their class. Yeah. So, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi wa sallam. That's why we need education that is unique, responsible education. At that age is very sensitive, otherwise we are destroying our kids when we put them together in one place. We really need to be responsible, have a strong discipline. Discipline with love, but there is a very good monitoring. No child is going to be in a place that is not under the vision of the school management. Yes, Adam.
And what is the ruling on holding a men's only class? Is it makruh?
No, it's fine.
It's fine.
I'm just telling you that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to my knowledge, never had a class that he says only brothers can come. Never. So they used to come. Whenever he prays in the masjid, they give a lecture, both of them are there in the masjid. Listen, they pray together. Of course, they can come to the class together also. It's so, just about the sitting arrangement. How did he sit?
So did he sit like this? Like he would be sitting there and then the sisters are...
Adam, did you ever see in a dream you see Ibrahim being one of the companions?
No, because I heard that in his time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were no barriers between the...
Yes, that's true.
So the sisters could just sit in their section and they could hear.
That's it.
Okay.
In the masjid, they pray behind. When he finished, he turns to everyone.
So in our time, because we have barriers, is it permissible for the sisters to come into the men's section to
no
listen?
No problem.
Really?
Why not?
No, Sheikh, I think
this is the place where the brothers prayed, right?
In our time, there is barriers.
This is the place where the brothers said, wait, Hamad, wait, 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 wait. Adam, if I'm wrong in understanding you, then correct me. Okay? There's a place where the brothers prayed, and the sisters were behind there, right? And that is a cover, right? We finished the class, and finished the prayer, right? They open the curtains, they move forward to the brothers' session, right? Sit down behind and listen to the class. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
See, I do understand. You should ask first, did you get him or not, you know? So, what's wrong with that, Hamad?
Because this is the men's section.
No, I've seen like women sitting in the second section. Like right next.
That's wrong. It's come very close, right? Yeah, I think this is not what Adam is talking about.
Sheikh, like imagine we're in Riyadh al-Salihin. And the sisters are sitting like...
Why do you bring my class?
Give me an example. Near the pillar, right? So around the place of the pillar. This is halal?
Let me ask you, why is it not halal?
Because this is the men's section. This is where men are praying, reading Quran. There's...
How is this? Who make it like this?
You have to bring evidence.
Bro,
I'm in self-ed. You're the one
who... Well, your cooperation is very nice, you know? You like to cooperate even without asking for help, you know? Let me ask Adam to get some benefits. You know, I want to learn also. Adam, who made it like that?
The Masjid Authority?
Oh. Masjid Authority. And they said, do not do this.
If a sister came to the men's section and just started praying sunnah, maybe she would be causing trouble because this is...
No problem. That one is different from what we are talking about. Because this, the arrangement in the class is different from the prayers. You get it? Mm-hmm. When places are separated for the prayers, okay, this is a place for the sisters. There is a wisdom behind. You get it?
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure if you have sisters and brothers, they sit behind and the brothers in front, and the class is being conducted. It will not be strange, as it will be if she is coming to the male section and pray.
That's true.
Everyone will. But that will not be strange. That's why in our masjid you have the same thing, right? They have programs, they have sisters that come in, and masjid management never said anything. It doesn't violate masjid rules. I thought you would bring me some ayah, some hadith. Yeah. What I want is, you know, not to be too rigid on things which Sharia did not do that. Do you get it? People have been already seeing you as somebody who is very rigid. You have a mind that is not changing what you believe is. At the same time, we believe that correct have to be followed, but we shouldn't go beyond the limit and make some things which we don't find them in the Sunnah or in the Quran or in any of the statement of the Salaf al-Saleh. You get it?
Yeah.
Come in. Yeah. So we go with that which bring maslaha. Get it? As long as it is not contradicting the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do accept. And avoid any criticism wherever it is possible. Why do you need to clash with people and you don't have anything to back your side up with? Okay. You put the sisters behind in their prayer. You put the curtain completely covered. The imam made sujood tilawah. Many of them don't memorize Quran. Just like the brothers also, when the sujood tilawah comes, we are making sujood tilawah, all of us, because of what? We see imam do it. And even at that time, you see so many brothers also making ruku. Only when they see the imam still in the sujood and everyone is in the sujood with him, then they go and make sujood, not knowing what exactly is he doing, you know. Imagine sisters behind there. They go for sujood. Ruku, and imam is in the sujood. And then he raises up, he says, Allahu Akbar, right? If they are fuqaha, faqihat, what are they going to do? They will fill the masjid with clapping. Were they right in that clapping? Yes, they were right, because to them, the imam is doing the mistake. He's doing something wrong. That's why there has to be at least some part of the masjid that is open for them to see what exactly is going on in the masjid. At least some of them, if not all. Yes, we do understand the reason why the barriers have been placed, because we have corrupt brothers. We do understand that, yes. And also we side with this. But at the same time, don't do something that will affect the prayer. If we can combine both, keeping the barrier and also not confusing the prayers of the sisters. We should do, because in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no barrier at all. We are not told about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam putting anything. You get it? Mm. In the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they did not have anyone that is corrupt. They do in the masjid. I don't want to talk about any way they do. They are human beings also, although lesser than what we have nowadays. They are way lesser, but they still have corruption. You get it? So that's the reason why I'm saying. I'm not saying we're going to do it in the other Salihin class. Adam, relax, you know. We keep the same arrangement in the way it is. You get it?
Yes.
Yeah, but if somebody says classes, there has to be mature, there are people, they cannot come to class alone, together with the correct sitting arrangement, then I will ask him, what is that? I would like to know what exactly is the evidence and why we're doing this. If there is no Quran, no hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, there should be a mafsada that happened, which can push us to change. You know, then we will say, yeah, because of this mafsada, we have to go. Like that group that you are talking about. Last time, no need to mention the name of the group. That group has to be shut down, had to be deleted completely. Because it brings mafsada. There's no good in it. It's all mafsada. You get it? So if you don't have the mafsada, then we can say that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to have the classes like this. And why in our time we say it's wrong? If in his time it wasn't wrong, why in our time is wrong? There has to be a mafsada that led us to make this belief. Then we will ask, what is the mafsada? Is it something that we use to address every circumstance separately, or we generalize? You get it?
Yes.
You know? Yes, Hamad. What do you? I already answered. MashaAllah. So I guess the question is answered clearly, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I have a lot. You can take first.
Regarding the saying of the Malaika, أَتَجَعْلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Is it the same context when Allah said, وَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْعُ وَجَاءَتْهُ الْبُشْرَى يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوطٍ. Is it the same? Because يُجَادِلُنَا means arguing. Ibrahim, according to the ayah, if we take the apparent.
Because he did.
Yeah, he argued.
Yeah, he told them, نَفِيهَا لُوطَ, you are going to go to that place. But there is my brother Lut alayhi salam. Where are they going to be destroyed?
You know? This is the jidal. This is the argument.
Yeah, his argument. And then he told them, can they have more chance? That's why they told him, Ya Ibrahim, أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا. Because he is asking a possibility of giving them more chance. Not all of them are wrong. You know? Because there is Lut and his two daughters. These prophets, they live a tough life, subhanAllah. Yeah. And imagine a person living in a country, no Muslim except in the middle of the criminals. You know, no Muslim except him and his two daughters. According to some scholars, they say these are only Muslim in that country. So you can imagine the pressure on Lut alayhi salam. SubhanAllah. Allah grant us good.
Sister is asking a question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Fadilat al-Shaykh. Ahsanullahu alaikum fi dunya wal akhirah. My grandfather died in 1991.
May Allah show mercy upon him. Combine us with him in Firdaus al-A'la.
In 2024, my uncle wanted to take faraid. Is it allowed, after more than 30 years?
The faraid, the inheritance, as long as the wealth is not being distributed, it has to be distributed according to the Sharia. I cannot answer this question until I know who died, who remained behind after the death of the deceased. Yeah. If the deceased has children, male children, there is no portion for the uncle of the deceased. Anyone who is the uncle of the deceased cannot inherit the deceased if the deceased has a male child. That male child kicked them out completely. So I need to know who exists and who remains and who died. Then I will be able to tell them whether this uncle deserves or he doesn't deserve. But if there is a male child, he doesn't have a single thing. If the deceased has brothers also, he doesn't have a single thing. He cannot inherit anything. Unless if the deceased left something for him as a wasiyah. Then he can take that wasiyah if it is not beyond one third of the wealth of the deceased.
One more question. How do we know that we have become too rigid, takalluf in the deen?
any guidance on this topic?
It's very simple. If you are not following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going beyond that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you're not following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're wrong in your approach. And if you are a person that you don't accept correction from anyone, you're too rigid in wrong way. Rigidity here is referring to you being rigid, not accepting any opinion except what you believe to be correct. And you don't accept any correction. Yeah, somebody comes to and tell you that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this and that, which is against what you believe in. He said, no. My sheikh told me this, I'm going to die using this one. That's the rigidity that I'm talking about. When I use it in that issue, yeah, it is like that. You know, we believe in the maslaha, and we believe that, yes, the protection and the barrier should be maintained. Not necessarily physical barrier between the male and the female, but meaning you behave in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to behave when you are dealing with the opposite gender. Male and the female and the male. But at the same time, the sitting arrangement in the classes where the benefit is being done, when the sitting arrangement is correct, why people think is wrong? Mm-hmm. If the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like that, why is it wrong? Yeah. I see it's just going against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his choice. You get the idea. Unless if mafsada happens and we deal with that case separately. You get it? When they come and they sit together, although they are maintaining the good arrangement, but still there is a mafsada, then we stop it because of that mafsada. Not because the system is wrong. The system is not wrong because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Why was it wrong? Yeah, but if there is a mafsada, then we stop it because of the mafsada. You get what I'm saying?
Is it fine to just do it beforehand as a precaution, like sabtu bi dhariya, for example?
No, if there is dhariya to be removed. When do you set the dhariya? When there is dhariya. Yeah. When there is something, you are afraid of something to happen, which is real. A reality, you know, not based on waham. Mm. You think it might be like that. No, Islam doesn't go with this. Yeah. There are facts, there are examples which you are using to base your decision on. Then you do sadu dharia. I go to a country, I told them nobody should grow grapes. When they ask me, I tell them because somebody might use it to produce wine. Mm. Am I right? No, and I'm not right. I'm not right. Absolutely wrong. I come to Malaysia, I said, don't grow grapes anymore. They asked me why. I said, because somebody might use it to produce wine. Am I right? No, it's wrong. Very wrong, actually. Mm. Otherwise, we will not do anything in this dunya. Mm. Because everything you do, it might be used in the wrong way. Hamad is using phone. Mm. Do we have people using the phone in the wrong way? Mm. A lot. Hamad, haram to use phones. Hamad will never come to my class again, you know. Yeah, we don't do that. But if, let's say, 90% of the people who are buying phones are using it in the wrong way, mm-hmm. then we say selling phones is wrong because most likely people use it in the wrong way. But it's not the case. You get it? 90% of the people who are buying grapes, they use it to produce wine. Mm-hmm. Then we tell people, don't sell grapes. Mm-hmm. Don't grow grapes. Because if you do, most probably somebody is going to use it in the wrong way. But just to come, because somebody used the grape in the wrong way and then I ask people not to grow grapes, this is exaggeration. Mm-hmm. Going beyond the Sharia. And now, tamr, they have wine from tamr. Mm-hmm. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina is full of tamr. Never told people don't grow tamr because somebody might be using it for wine. You get it? So we really have to be very careful in the way we use these things. Mm. You know, sometimes we might go in beyond the limit and using them in the wrong way. You know, may Allah grant us good and help us to maintain our tranquility and istiqama in doing the right thing. And also brothers and sisters to behave well. Yeah. Tell me what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everyone is behaving in the correct way, inshallah. I mean, at least better than what we see nowadays.
One more question.
I thought you said this is the last question. Okay, faster then, before we pray Maghrib.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum fi dunya wa akhirah. Do women have to be behind a screen to teach men? If yes, is niqab sufficient as a screen?
No, it's not.
the story that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put a mat to speak to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala and his friend after her death. So are we doing too much by not wanting to even talk to or ignore completely the nana?
If you don't have something to say to a non-mahram, why would you talk to her? Why? I'm telling you, even if she is bad also, sometimes she finds it strange. Just come and see a woman and then you start talking to her. So weird, actually. Did you get it? But if you need to talk to a non-mahram, is it halal to talk to her? Yes, it is. Yeah. You need to talk to a non-mahram. Is it halal to talk to her? Yes, it is. She needs to talk to a person. Is it halal to talk to him? Yes, it is. In the time of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Prophet as well, did they do that? Yes, they do. But there is, they need to do. I go to buy something, the one who is selling is a woman. Can I talk to her?
Yes.
Yes. With that which is necessary, which what I need. Right? How much is this? How much I bargain? Because she is in the market. I bargain the price. She cannot tell me 10,000 ringgit and the thing is only 1,000 and then just because she is a woman then I don't ask for my right. No, you bargain. Yeah, the only thing that Allah SWT wants you to do, you know, to behave well. That's it. You talk to her, she talks to you, but you behave well. She behaves well, then that's it. Yes, that's why I said going beyond the limit, you know, it's not good, you know. Otherwise, people keep on being right in their accusation. Yeah. A lot of people are accusing blindly that so-and-so-and-so people, they are so this and that, you know. No, it's not like that. Also, we have to trace what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. We stick to that, you know. Don't go beyond the limits, you know. You will look so strange. You're already strange. But if you add, you will look so strange, more than necessary. You get it? You know.
If she's married.
Huh?
The sister's married.
Even if she's married, she comes to the market, she's selling things. What does that mean? She allows that, and the husband allows that. You don't need to go to the market. You want to talk to your sister. You ask, are you married? She says, yes, can I have the phone for your husband? And you call him, can I talk to your wife? Yes. Yeah, we don't need to do that. But Yusuf, obviously, when she comes to the market, she sells. Even if she is married, what does that mean? The husband let her. Even if he doesn't let her, this is not my problem. It's not your problem. A person in a shop and you need to buy from that shop. Do I need to go for interview? Who let you come here? Come on. You get it? Now, she's at home. Do I have a right to talk to the wife of somebody without his permission? No, I don't. You get it? I don't have. Until if he permits me. But she comes out to the market and she's selling things. What does that mean? What does that mean? She let it happen. Right? So Sharia says I should just be decent and she also should be decent. We manage, we control ourselves, we behave well. That's it. Yeah, we have heard a lot of complaints, right? Sexual harassment. A lot of these things are taking place. That's why I said what? Behaving? Well, yeah, she has to behave well and he has to behave well. That's it. Other than that, there is nothing wrong with talking to a woman that is non-mahram if a person needs to talk. Yes, Hamad.
Last question. So a brother is asking a question. Ahsanallahu alaykum fi dunya wal akhirah. Sheikh, I am engaged with a sister and I know it is not allowed to send messages privately, but is it halal for me to privately send classes links or Islamic reminders without any comments?
This is how it always begins, right? When you block the way from Shaitan, Shaitan come from the classes. And the ruse. I advise you not to. Just marry. That's it. Yeah, just marry. Convince her to agree to marry and the case closed. Inshallah. This is my advice, not to send classes link. If you have a sister, your sister should send the links. Yeah, because from that link also then you will have a discussion time to digest what the Sheikh said in the class. Right? revision, muraja'a wa mudhakara. So just marry her and come and do the real mudhakara and the muraja'a, inshallah. Okay. So thank you, Umm Rayyan, for opening this question and heavy discussion between us and the people who here. May Allah reward all of us and grant all of us firdaus. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.